so deep in my heart, Chris, because I really see that once you begin to take your awareness of who we are in the world, the heart of Christ of itself, Jesus' heart within me, wants to evangelize. In every human heart that is possessed by Christ, that is seized by Christ, that is united with Christ's heart, there is a movement toward spreading that love. Not only in your local area, but to the whole world. Evangelization is so part of being a Christian. You can't really be baptized and not be a Christian. To understand what it is to be a baptized person. Now, that goes for Protestants, that goes for Orthodox, that goes for Catholics. We are not called to keep the faith. We are called to spread the faith. The faith of its very nature, the faith in the gospel, is like drives us, as Paul says, Caritas Christi urget nos. The love of Christ drives me. Drives me. And so he said, if I don't speak it, it's just going to eat me up. It's going to eat me up inside. So if you are baptized, and if you understand the nature of your calling to be united with Christ, that very union with him, in him and through him, isn't simply to unite you with the Father. The first movement that our baptism does is reunite our fallen self with God the Father. And once I know who I am in relationship to the Father, then the Father who is in me, the kingdom of God is within you. The Father then sends me through the power of the Holy Spirit to tell others. I can't possibly recognize the magnificent goodness of God, my Father, without wanting to tell, now listen, the whole world about him. But when you find something so beautiful and magnificent, and you realize that that same life, that same love was meant for every person in the world. There's a woman who attended the conference that I had the other night, and she said, I'm married. I have this great love of God, but it's so frustrating because I can't share it with my husband. My husband doesn't have the faith. The wife is a natural evangelizer. Who is your first person that you're going to evangelize? In fact, Paul talks about marrying with someone who is not of your own faith. That's it. When you marry outside your faith, a person who does not share that deepest part of you, how can there be that intimate union of you with another person who isn't sharing the beauty and the goodness of the source that is within you? And so your power to love your husband, or you to love your wife, the natural movement of Christianity, the natural movement of love, is to give that to the other. The second and most powerful, because you parents are the first evangelizers of your children. What a big mistake we made for a long time, thinking that it was the priest and the nun that was going to teach. teach our children. Your children will not know God our Father, or Jesus their brother, or the Holy Spirit, or Mary their mother. Your children will not know their faith unless you are the primary teachers of that faith. The first obligation that you take and the responsibility when your child is baptized is, do you realize that when you want this child baptized, you, Father, you, Mother, are the chief teachers in the ways of faith, and by what you say and do with them, so that your very life together with this child, so that right from the moment they're conceived, the moment they're born, you're communicating to them what? That love. If your home is filled with arguments, tension, fighting, cursing, how can this child grow up in the peace and love of God? So the atmosphere and the climate of your home, the harmony, the union between husband and wife, is that's the essence of what it is to live in a Christian home. The enthronement of the Sacred Heart is a symbol and sign that the heart of Christ, as we have him in our home, his image there, radiating out to a father, a mother, and children as they grow. And you, brothers and sisters, you are the first evangelizers to your little sister. When she comes along, if you're 6 years old and you have a two-year-old little sister, how are you teaching her about Jesus? How are you teaching and recognizing her about her guardian angel? How are you showing her Jesus in you by blessing her? When you went to the baptism of your little sister, one of the things you were invited to do was to bless your little sister on the forehead. You should do that every day. Every day that you wake up, every day that you play, every day that you share at home, you're loving one another. Evangelizers is primarily the work of sharing Christ in the home. Every one of us have gifts. And so there's power. When your child is sick and they have a fever, you lay hands on them. You drive out the illness and the sickness from them. Give them your blessing. There is no more powerful blessing than Christ in you as a mother. I have seen over and over again, it's wonderful that the priest will come and bless the baby when it's sick, that someone will come from the church and give Holy Communion to a sick child in your home. But you take charge. You have the authority over these children. Then when they become teenagers, the kind of rebellion many times that goes on, I'm not going to go to church, I don't like to, that all begins when they're 5 and 6. Do you bless them every day? Every day since you brought them home, to give each child your blessing. I knelt down and had my father's blessing, and I'm so happy that I grew up in that household. Long before I was ordained a priest and could give my father a blessing as a priest, he blessed me. My mother blessed me. Whenever I went out or wherever I went, and we were really taught the sacredness of a father's blessing. There's a magnificent book. It's by Linda Schaefer, and she has this blessing of a father. What a magnificent gift that little book is. And it's Linda Schubert, and it's called The Healing Power of a Father's Blessing. Fathers, you are the chief evangelizer. lay your hand on your child. Give your sick child a blessing. It has such a healing power. When your child is frustrated, when your child is confused, you have such authority and power within you. That grace of Jesus goes out through you. The Father has given you this blessing. Use it. Use it over and over again. I have seen children brought healing and blessing and grace through a father's blessing, through a mother's blessing. All of us now are being sent. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel, I would like to read this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in parts to parts of every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry nothing and money bags, no sacks, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a peaceable person is there and lives there, your peace will return to you. But if not, it will rest on them. But if not, it will return to you. What is offered to you for your labor, you deserve. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat whatever they give you and cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand.' Whatever town you go to and enter, they do not welcome you, go out into their streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.'" See, the evangelist speaks with great authority. "Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will go more tolerant in Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." As we go about in our planning with regard to evangelization, it's the chief evangelizer in your diocese is your bishop. But every single person has the responsibility for sharing the faith with others. I'm really very impressed with a man by the name of Ralph Martin from Michigan. He has such a ministry of evangelization, and his teaching is so powerful and convincing, not only so much to the bishops and to the priests, but to the laymen. The doctrines of are the new evangelization, which we are now preaching and is so important in every diocese, that we will be aware of the power of Christ that is in us. When the disciples returned from their mission, the 72, it continues in that 10th chapter of Luke, the 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." The name of Jesus is so powerful. Why? Because he is in you. Jesus is only going to show up in our world today when you, each one of us, when you that are listening to me, you baptized, confirmed Christian, when you realize who you are. It is not you who is going to bring the conversion of the whole world into reality. It's him who's in you. When you know who you are, who am I, that Christ is in me, and in his name and by his power, I can live and breathe and move. St. Paul became aware of the power of the name of Jesus that was in him. In the name of Jesus, I drive out demons. In the name of Jesus, I bless this sick person. If you're a baptized, confirmed Christian, why can't you go to visit the sick and demonstrate the power that is within you by laying hands and praying on a sick person? Is it possible that you could have miraculous powers of healing cancer, of healing blindness? What is that that God has given you that in the evangelization of the world that you may not be using to stir up the grace of God that is within each of us? If each and every Catholic Christian would begin to become aware of the power and authority and the grace that lies within each of us. Evangelization is really the call for every baptized, confirmed Christian. Confirmation is the sacrament of evangelization, to go forth and to share with others. Baptism is that which calls us to sanctification. Confirmation is that which sends us on mission. We become aware of the power that is within us. So many times when we receive confirmation, we're told that we're soldiers of Jesus Christ and that we are going to be sent into this spiritual battle. And there is that. The darkness all around us today exists because we are not lighting up the world with the fire and the love and the light of Jesus. He said to us, each of us, you are the light of the world. The darkness in the world is going out because I am not witnessing to, reflecting, revealing that power and light of his teaching and love in the world. First, my family, through my parish, through the city and town and work and school that I live in. Evangelization begins exactly where I am today. When I am in Omaha, that's exactly where it begins. When I am in Scranton, that's where it begins. When I am in New York or San Francisco or whatever town or place I go, wherever you are, that's the center of the harvest. Pray that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest. Who is he, the laborer? And where is the harvest? You are the laborer. And the harvest is all around you. If you would see first the Father by the eyes of Jesus that's within you, see the gaze of your Father upon you, and the Father is sending his child. Just as he sent Jesus into the world to come into Bethlehem, even if you're a little child, when Jesus came into the world, he came as a child. When he was 12 years old, if you're listening to this, you are Jesus in the world. You are a 12-year-old Jesus. What did Jesus say to his parents? I must listen to my Father. I must follow my Father's voice. When you pray, the Our Father, child of God, little boy, little girl, you are Jesus. That's who you really are. If your mother and father are with you now and you're listening to it, this is who you are in your home. You mean I really, a 12-year-old child, and that's who you are. You are really in the base of your heart through your baptism. And if you've been confirmed, now you're being sent. And so when you go into the schoolyard at school, when they're saying those curse words and blaspheming God and taking his name in vain, you have a power there. You can, even though however you're going to meet that challenge, by saying, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When someone is swearing and you hear those words, God damn you. When you hear somebody say that, and I heard it just the other day from a woman, and you can say, praise be the Lord. May God give a blessing to that person who just cursed that other person to hell. You have a power. When you're in the locker room and you're a 15-year-old and you're practicing football, you are Jesus. Christ is there. Why are these so many people coming out and drinking bouts with young kids? Because you have the power. Where is the harvest? It's all around you. Through you, with you, and in you. Your friends, as you begin to grow in that union with Christ, your friends, your love, your power, your virginity, your chastity, can witness to Jesus in the dance or wherever you're going with your friends in school. The whole climate of a school can be changed. Why? Because of you? Yes, because who you are. Who am I? In the darkness of our world, I can be the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. What authority do you have? Jesus, who made heaven and earth. Do not be afraid. The evangelizer has the conviction that in his name, with him, I can do everything. In his power, with his grace. Evangelization is so important in our world today. It will not only take place in these United States, it's going to take place in Africa. When I was the head of the missions, I used to take juniors in high school on their summer vacation, and they would do a mission to Ecuador, to Tanzania, to Mexico, to some place in the world. We would have a retreat before, and we would reflect on who we were in that retreat. It was really powerful. Seminarians leading and guiding high school 11th graders. And we would have a mission along with our mission man. And the magnificent transformation when they would begin to see a whole world out there. We would prepare for it by prayer. We would prepare for it by each one of them raise their own funds in order to do this mission trip. And I said to their parents before we went, if you give me a son or daughter, along with you, through your help and guidance and direction, we together can bring back a new missionary and the transformation that would take place in an 11th grader as he was about to enter his senior class. These people that returned became fantastic leaders in their senior year in high school, when seniors began to do all kinds of crazy things in the schools and places in Williamsport or Towanda or Scranton. These had such powerful influence over their classmates. It was amazing of what an effect it had. When you light a light, the darkness is destroyed. Do not curse the darkness that's around us. My brothers and sisters, married couples, young people, old people, wherever you are, do you think you can't be an evangelizer because you're sick and you're suffering and you're laying and you really someone is allowing you to hear this broadcast in your nursing home? You have a power. You have a great power. Why? Because you're Jesus. The greatest thing that Jesus did, and if you unify your suffering with Jesus, the greatest way that Jesus brought salvation to the world was by his suffering and his death. You, at this time, can offer your pain, your suffering. Do you know what happened to Jesus on the cross? He emptied his bowel and his bladder. He was covered with feces. Are you laying in a nursing home and you're calling for the nurse and she doesn't come and you are in a mess being there, suffering, waiting, alone, abandoned? You're Jesus. Unite that time rather than complaining and screaming at whoever is there was supposed to care for you when you couldn't care for yourself. You are the closest to Jesus on the cross. Take and unite your sufferings with his. The ignominy and pain that you're going through unites you with him. Suffering is redemptive. Suffering is salvific when it's joined to him and united with him on the cross. Everyone who hears me can be an evangelist. Everyone who hears me can be Jesus, spreading the gospel throughout the world. We are called not just simply to be sanctified. We are called to be evangelists. Go into the whole world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Any final thoughts for today, Monsignor?
I really hope that this will be just a beginning of a series of awakening each person, and to especially maybe we really need much more awareness of the gifts that God has given to each one of us and how those gifts can be used for the spreading of the kingdom of God. Some of us have power to teach. Some of us have power to administrate. Some of us have power to heal or for miracles. What is and how can I come to discover the gifts I have? I think we could do that in a further conversation. God bless.